Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Chris, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the first session of the year-long retreat. Welcome, Chris.
Hello.
Hey, thanks for being with us.
Nice to hear your voice.
Nice to hear your voice too. So the first topic, the year-long retreat is set up, and for those folks who may not be participating, in sections, kind of 30-day sections. And the first one that we got to do was on the topic of self-care. And it was, I just projected from my own experience and from hearing people on radio shows and in groups and that sort of thing that people saw a lot, and we thought it would be really fun to have a good news to have someone in this particular case, you, thank you for being with us, to talk about your experience of that.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's my pleasure to share about such a beneficial opportunity being part of this year-long retreat, workshop, and just loving it, yeah. So first, you want me to go ahead and launch into
please. Yeah, tell us what you saw in the self-care part of the program.
Oh, it was just so great. I mean, just first off, it's so wonderful to be in contact and just so supported by Sangha and by, by everything the monastery offers and the practice offers. And just so much fun to get to hear different members of our Sangha or just different people talking about their experience. But for me, in particular, one of the big conversations that occupied so much space and time in this head of mine was was about, I'll just get into the content just because it,
great.
Just for example, it was just the story of being fat and being just not right, somehow not right. And,
body
and
is
it
not
seemed
right.
Like,
doesn't meet ego standards.
The story was about being fat, right? And one blessed opportunity was being in a group where it was reflected what I was saying. It was like, just, oh my goodness, what a selfish world and to live in, being such a privileged American, like, and not in a self-hating way at all, just in a, oh my goodness, I don't want to live in that little small world,
Yeah,
and so that was huge, but especially wonderful, I thought, was when we were doing an exercise about, okay, you know the story's going on and it's an issue, seems like an issue, but what's underneath it? You know, what's that karmic story that could be possibly revealed by really looking at this?
Yeah,
and I had to play that. Oh, and just to shout out to recording and listening, what a help, what a tool we have in recording and listening. Because, the egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, the voices, they didn't want to hear. I mean, that day, examining what the underlying karmic story, it was like, this is too complicated. I don't get it. Just that whole foggy brain type of thing. And what seemed to be revealed was that the real story was what I wanted to hear, this heart wanted to hear, is that I belong in this world exactly as I am, and mentors here to help me be however I want to be, here, now, practicing, healthy, fit, as much as possible as I am just right now. And it was so funny because then I was listening to some recordings. That is like the first thing ever recorded from There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat maybe 10 years ago. And it's still with this heart. It's just so kind to hear,
I love it. Oh, Chris, wow.
It was awesome. Just... And so, go ahead.
No, please, keep going.
So what was so fun was, I get that message about my big fat stomach, supposedly, comparing all that crazy self-hate. And instead, replacing it with, you belong in this world exactly as you are, perfect, and all that,
and
especially using the recording and listening practice to just reinforce that.
Yeah.
It was so amazing what then was revealed in the space and time that wasn't occupied by that self-hating story. Things that have helped my health incredibly. I mean, just I'm shocked. It's just like it was so awesome. These things that have been revealed. Like, I always thought the gluten thing was kind of I didn't think much of it. I just thought it was sort of a made-up story about the whole gluten allergy. And it turns out I might even have celiac disease or whatever. And just all these things that I just assumed were related to being fat and overeating. And just like back pain, things, just amazing. You know, just all these things dropping in that when the conversation is not there and when I'm available to receive all of life's or whatever part of life's insights that are here for me. Yeah. And it's just spectacular.
It's unbelievably spectacular. I mean,
and just like, even here's another little one. Like, I had these extra insoles in my feet, in my shoes, that I thought would help me because the story was I'm so heavy and that's why my feet hurt and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Well, I took the second, you know, anyway, it was just like, wait a minute, I have too much arches in here. Maybe that's what's hurting my feet. Took them out, feel much better. You know, just little things like that that are actually not little things, you know, just
they're huge.
Really cool.
They're huge. And the process is huge too, isn't it? Because your point is just absolutely brilliant that those pieces of information are all around us all the time. But
it's
the story
so cool.
is so all-consuming, we can't hear it.
It's bizarre. It's just it's the neatest, craziest thing, you know, and I just love like science fiction movies, and it's like we live in the most, who knows what's going on, but this is just so fun to sort of catch
it's
on.
It's so fun.
It's tricks,
it's
you know,
so
it's
fun
great
to catch on. And I love your image of, okay, so now we're at a day where the assignment is, we're going to look at, okay, so that's the story. And what I love about it, I mean, actually one of my very favorite things about this year-long retreat is we're just going for it. Like, bring it all on. Okay, I'm fat, I'm lazy, I'm ugly, I'm boring, I'm stupid, I'm, you know, indulgent, I'm, like, bring it on, all of it. And everyone has their thing, as you say, in Sangha, right? So each person is bringing their deal. And then we have a day where it's like, okay, now let's look at what's really going on. And I just, that's hilarious. Then ego goes, oh, God, I'm so confused. This is so this is so hard. I don't know what we're talking about here. Because, of course, that very thing, turning and looking at the very thing is going to be the portal to all of what you just said, everything, to the presence that's going to lead us to, first of all, it leads us to the unconditional thing that we actually want. It leads us to that love, to that message that you're completely belong. You could never not belong. You know, all of those messages we want to hear. And then that beautifully leads us to the tiny details, you know, the arches in our shoes and the, you know, our diet and the content of how that unconditional can be expressed in our physical lives.
It's such a, it just shows how it can be such a, I don't know, like, you know, you can be imprisoned by the voices. Just
absolutely. All
just
the time.
Imprisoned, you know? It's just weird. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
And
it's so interesting when we look at it. Yeah.
When we're looking at it, not in it, yeah, not from its side.
Yeah. And you know, the thing that's extraordinary is, you know, now we've moved on to the second topic. And what I'm so excited about is we're going to get to go through the same sequence with all of these topics. And boy, we're just, I don't know what the voices are going to do, where they're going to hide. This is getting harder and harder for them.
But, you know, and you know that what it comes down to, the whole you belong in this world, its story about the weight is the same story about lots of things. And it basically comes down to you should die. I mean, it's major. It's everything,
it's
you know. So
it is. It is. And it's why we do have to do it together, because you know there's a way in which, you know, I don't know what quite the image is, but when you do work like this, we're really getting down to it. And I think we mentioned, I think Sherry or someone mentioned it on one of the morning shows, but that retreat that's coming up in North Carolina. is that it's a retreat on the very same process. Like, we're really getting down to it, and the voices will go nuts. And so it would almost be dangerous for us to do this off on our own. Like, we need each other for sure, because it's going to throw everything it's got at us.
So it's probably time to go. I just want to throw in one more thing that came to me, or that seems so helpful, is that it's that same voice or that same conversation that tries to talk this person into unhealthy behavior, even like a snack when it's not snack time or any little thing. It's that same dang voice that will then try and beat you up for it, you know, trying to make you feel bad for it. And when you, so just calling it out is so helpful, and just, and just, you know, just having practice a priority and meditating daily several, you know, a couple times, and just doing everything I can to help this, this human that is going up against this force, you know, and just so happy we have each other to do this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We have each other, and we have that mentoring presence that is doing what you're talking about, which is that I'm just, I mean, look at her. Look at how she's practicing. And I'm going to do everything I can to just support her like crazy. Just love her and tell her all day long, every day, how much she belongs.
Because it probably sounds nuts to someone outside of this practice, but there is this life force, this universe, this mentor, everything that is just so supportive, so supportive, and it's just a miracle to be waking up and to, you know, to have this practice.
Truly. And Chris, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon to share your experience. That was very fantastic.
Well, it was so fun to talk about. So, okay, take care, and I'll be listening to the show.
Thank you, Chris. Take good care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Chris, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. That was fun, huh?
That was great. That was great.
I just very inspiring. Never get tired of, I never get tired of hearing people's practice stories and successes.
Yes, and the enthusiasm and the sense of supporting one another and working out our own salvation diligently for the precious human being that each of us calls me. It's, I can never get too much of it.
Mm-hmm. And I love what Chris said, you know, that it must sound, I'm sure it does. We just don't, I don't anyway. I don't open myself a lot to hearing opinions from conditioning about our practice. Once we realize what's possible for us, once we get what life really is as compared to the hatefulness of the ego, then all of this, it all makes so much sense. It fits with our experience. We know what to do, and now truly we are practicing. It just comes down to, okay, I know what this is. I know how it works. I know what to do. I'm practicing doing it.
Wow.
Not crazy at all once we start. It only sounds crazy when we look through a conditioned mind.
Yes. Great. Shall I jump into announcements?
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Okay. For the first time, everyone is invited to participate in a special virtual Sit with Sangha and be part of the North Carolina retreat, no matter where you are. On four mornings of the retreat, April 16th through 19th, the first meditation period will be broadcast live. To join live broadcasts at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Time, simply use the regular virtual meditation group's call-in number, which can be found on the virtual meditation group's webpage at livingcompassion.org.
Don't think that you can avoid us by staying home, because we will come right to you. We will bring meditation right into your house.
I know, it's fabulous. And also there's going to be an email coming out with more information about joining these live sits.
Right.
Yes. And later this month, a six-week conference call retreat in recording and listening training will teach six key skills of the recording and listening practice. We think you will find these calls to be fun, experiential, and transformative. Mm-hmm. And a new class begins April 24th.
And as Chris said, there's just nothing like this for supporting our practice. So
yes.
If somebody's struggling, whether they're struggling with a recording and listening practice, hearing negativity in their own head about it, or just want more tools and tips and techniques, or just want to practice with a group of people, it's a great course.
Yes, yes. And step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up at the Your Practice Retreat, May 4th through 11th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California. The retreat offers individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for the week.
Mm-hmm. It's
going to
be fun.
Going to be fun. Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to deepen support for awareness practice in the peace and beauty of the Zen Monastery Peace Center in Murphy's, California. These weekends include a practice activity and guidance with Sherry or Ashwini. Practice weekend is coming up May 16th through 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other opportunities, including an exciting brand new retreat and two foundational There's Nothing Wrong With You retreats, visit livingcompassion.org.
Yeah, so they didn't give you the intel on the new retreat, or it just want everybody to go read it for themselves?
I think the invitation is to read for yourself, or we'll find out next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's a fun one. So, I mean, I'm excited about it, so I hope everybody else is too. Yeah.
Great. And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make guest show and get in the queue. And a conversation of about 5 minutes that's focused on one topic is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're ready, Sherry.
I think so.
Okay,
here we go.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Stefania.
Well, hello, Stefania.
Hi, Stefania.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm better. Things are slowly getting better, so I wanted to say hello and thank you for your support and for your practice.
You're so welcome. I happen to know a little about what you have just recently been through. It is times like these when we're grateful for whatever practice we have, aren't we? Whatever we can hang on to through such an incredibly rough ride.
Yes. It's kind of funny in some ways, funny weird, of course, because as you introduced a little bit, you know, there was a big family sickness with my son. And in some ways, there were moments that I was, like, grateful for being able to just be with him instead of thinking how terrible or scary or everything it was. And, you know, there was this voice just saying, how could you be grateful? You need to be angry. You need to be this and that and that. And, I mean, sometimes I wasn't as peaceful, but I do appreciate for the composure that I was able to have. I actually felt very, very strong, even if I was scared, very scared too.
Yes. So, well, and to me, what's so important about that is that here's this guy. I mean, he's really having a rough time. And what could happen in that is that you could be there as a presence to support him rather than him, as sick as he was, having to worry about you or have any attention go to, right, to taking care of you or being concerned about you or being more frightened than he would have been if he hadn't seen, if he sees fear reflected in his mother's face and an inability to be present with him, that would not be helpful. So to be able to show up in those ways for him, for yourself, for the rest of the family, that's a lot to be grateful for.
So it's now the question though that I bring with me today, or to you, whatever, is, you know, I mean, he knows what I'm, not that I'm very, very good at all in terms of, you know, dedication time with stuff, but I've been still meditating after your teaching, basically every morning for a few years now, for sure. Even if it's only 10 minutes, it really gives me strength. I've been talking to him, and he knows that I'm doing it. I've been doing it while he was in the hospital and, you know, doing some of this visualization of energy moving and such, but I'm trying to figure out how can I keep just saying it to him that it could be helpful for him to find, you know, some balance. He's been very anxious after this all that happened, and he needs to find balance in himself. But basically, I have the book, right? There's Nothing Wrong With You, or I can show him something about meditation. I wonder, what is your insight right now about helping younger people in figuring out their these tools?
Well, and it's a tough one because, well, it's a tough one for a lot of reasons, but mainly because everybody wants to find their own way. And what I always tell parents is that the best thing that we can do with our kids is to live, to model what we want for them. So that said, you know, it may be a while before he on his own comes to, you know, I want to look into this. And he may choose something very different from what appeals to you, because kids like to do that. You know, they like things that are different from their parents. That's okay. He may pick a different path. He knows that this kind of thing is available. He knows that adults in his life, well, specifically his mother, has ways of being strengthened, has places to turn, has support, has, so he knows that's available. Right, and when he's ready, then that's part of what he has to rely upon. The second thing about that, and I, again, I don't know if he would be open to this, but I think recording and listening is the best tool, because once he got the hang of it, he would be finding his own internal support. So that combination of, you can say anything to a recorder, absolutely anything, and your recorder is the only one who's ever going to hear it. And then you can hear back. You know, he could listen to that guy talk about his fears, his anxiety, what he's just been through, the future, whatever goes on, and begin to have that support for himself. So that would be my suggestion as least invasive or intrusive way, tool that we have for supporting people, especially younger people.
Yes, and that is actually very cool because I actually have stopped doing it for a long time, I would say now, because for some reason I got tricked from the fact that my phone always would glitch and everything needs to be erased because there was no more storage. So at least three times I had to redo the whole thing, and I was like, well, you know, it's a teaching of not being attached and la, la, la.
Right.
But then after a while, I kind of felt like I kind of let it go. And I was also kind of sad to hear myself often sad in my recording. And so that's basically, I think, is a good hint for me to start doing it. And then eventually propose it to him. Yeah.
Yes. But and I think you heard there's a class coming up. I don't know what's involved in it, but there is one coming up. And, of course, we have coaches, or trainers, we call them, who teach that. But because what you mentioned that is such a key part of it is that with the two-handed recording, she talks about whatever is going on. She's sad. Okay, we'll just use that one. She's sad. And she talks about being sad. And, of course, we never record self-hate, right? So we never record that there's something wrong with her for being sad because
she's sad.
Yeah. And so, and then you, when you listen back to her, have a chance to disidentify and get some distance and listen to her the way you would listen to your best friend or a child, somebody who's just sad and struggling and unhappy, and then from that place grows the compassion and the lack of judgment for somebody, the desire to support her and help her out of her unhappiness and into a different place. So it really is a whole process of transformation that's involved, and for that reason we want to be very careful about who listens. Right. So when
you're
she talks into the talks into the recorder, you don't want to let self-hate talk back to her.
No. There's no judgment. It just usually I didn't record a conversation. I would just record. Well, no, I would, but then I would still feel more of the sadness. And so after a while, I was like, I don't want to feel the sadness all the time. And so I was kind of. I kind of felt afraid,
I'm
basically,
suggest,
to listen to them.
I'm going to suggest that if you did it again, and from this perspective, so, you know, if it were your son, and he's talking about being sad, it there might be a part of you that felt sad that identifies and empathizes, right? But there's also an enthusiasm that comes with wanting to support somebody. Wanting to help somebody make a movement out of that sadness. And I think you'll be able to hear that with her, right? You'll be able to let the mentor, you and the mentor, help her with, well, let's try this, or let's try that, or let's look at it this way, or it's okay that you feel that way, and what else is possible? To kind of feel your way into that relationship.
It's a very good point. So yes, I'm going to start again. I'm going to review again what is written on your website about it, and then I'm going to start again. Yes.
Yeah. And
thank you.
Don't forget. When things settle down, we're kind of down the road from you. So, come and see us at center. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
It's good to hear.
Thank
from
you so much.
Thank you. Good to hear from you. Okay. Take care.
Gacho. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Gacho.
Thanks for joining us, Stefania. Sherry, I appreciated all the details, recording and listening, and how to do that, and what to record, and what not to record, and how to keep our eyes open for self-hate. And it's always great to be reminded of all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those places where I think it's so difficult with parents and children, because we love them and we want them to be happy. We want things to go well for them, and we have these things that we know could help. And so to stay in that place of talking about, this is what works for me, not this is what you should do, or even this is what I want you to do, but this is what works for me, and this is how, and this is why. And, you know, kids tend to listen and take that stuff in, even though they often don't give any evidence of it.
Yeah, exactly. I can see for my own children that if I'm attached, that they do this practice when they grow up, then it's kind of a setup for me and for them.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. Because it you're needy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
If I really want you to do something, even if it's for your own good, in quotes, neediness about it is a turn off. So it's like, whoa, what? You know, no, that doesn't feel good. No, I don't want to do that. And it has nothing to do with whatever the content is, right? It's the way we're presenting it starts feeling creepy. And creepy is rarely attractive.
Yeah. Mm. All right. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Barbara here in Australia.
Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Hi. Oh. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I've just noticed last couple of days I've been sort of slip sliding into the dark room a bit. I've just a month ago moved into a place on my own, and I think it's that familiar place of spending enormous amounts of time on my own and not being very well physically, and that combination kind of,
And so can you, I'll let you tell me what you want to tell me, but I have a question. So this place that you've moved into, tell me a little about it. Did it meet any of your hopes for it, or is that part of it? Are you in an okay spot?
It's not. Look, I live in a city that's probably one of the most expensive cities in the world, and it's really hard to find housing. So I found something I can afford. It's not got some of the things that I really wanted, like mainly light and sun. But it felt doable, and there's a possibility that something else is going to be possible. I'll find out at the end of the month. So, but neither of them tick some of the boxes that felt like my most important. They were at the top of my list of what I want in a home. But, you know, I think I couldn't see any other alternative at the moment. So,
I'd love to hear that at the moment. Love that, right?
Yeah.
It's just right now. This is the best we can do right now. Always open
and just,
better.
It sort of felt at the moment like some stability feels like that's sort of a priority. Look, you know, it's hard to know, Sherry. I'm doing my best with sort of seeing what feels like life sort of, where I'm at the moment actually really felt like life just sort of came out of the blue. The path towards it was incredibly easy. To say no to it felt like it would have been kind of mad. So even though it wasn't sort of what I was particularly wanting and looking for, I thought, okay, well, you know, maybe there's something here for me that I can't see. Isn't there right now, but maybe, you know, will unfold. I don't know.
Well, and again, I'll if this is off topic for you, then you let me know and drag me back to the topic. But I think on a process level, that is one of the most important things a person can do, because that yes opens a doorway to yes. So this isn't perfect, and it's opening up in front of me, right? I'm not having to fight and slog my way to something. It's easy. It's opening up. I'm going to say yes to it. And I'm just going to keep saying yes as more and more opens up. And I think we don't realize, you know, there's kind of propaganda that says, well, you've got to fight for yourself and you've got to choose what you want and really go for it. And and maybe that's a lot of resistance that actually fuels more resistance rather than actually moving us toward what we want. Because what we want is to be happy and grateful and feel as good as we can feel.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, what I've been also looking at is that I think there's some element at play where, you know, how to say this, a bit like, you know, that that film that everyone was watching a while ago, The Secret, you know, that that you just sort of visualize exactly what you want and then you're going to have it sort of thing, as if everyone on the planet can have mansions with swimming pools. And so there was some element of, without wanting to let go of what I ideally would like to have, not
exactly.
You know, I think, and conditioning, kind of using that other way of thinking as seeing it as some kind of personal failure on my part.
Oh, absolutely.
Sitting in that beautiful house with all the sun and the northern aspect and all those things.
If you were the right kind of person, you would manifest. My favorite is, I'm looking in the jewelry store window and this tall, handsome guy comes up and slips a diamond necklace around my neck. Really? Come on. Come on, kid. Yeah. And so that's it's a double whammy, isn't it? So this is what you want. You don't want it. And by the way, it's actually your fault that you don't have it. You want it. You don't get it. And it's your fault that you don't get it.
I noticed that thinking creeping in this morning, and you know what I also noticed was this other voice sort of saying, hey, you know, the place that you have for the price that you got it, anyone would say for the city you live in, it's a miracle. So you know, it's like it's become so much harder to find somewhere to live than it was 20 years ago or 10 years ago. So, mm-hmm. Just really good to see with clarity how conditioning is actually using social realities to kind of...
Right, against you. Right.
It's my fault.
Yeah, and so what I hear you saying is you're fine saying yes to miracles. You're gonna go along with that, right? This is a miracle. Okay, that's good. I'll take this miracle. And by the way, if there's another one with my name on it, I'm open to that too.
I'm
not being greedy. I'm just saying, if there's another possibility, I'm open to that too. Thank you. I suspect it's the way.
Yeah, I do too, Sherry. And it's really keeping in mind that nothing's forever and things can change, you know.
Yes, and you can make the most of this, right? You can practice in, not just you, all of us, right? Because, you know, everybody, I suspect, has something that they find less than ideal. Even the most privileged people seem to find something that they can complain about. And so just to realize that we're practicing our gratitude and appreciation all the time. So I'm grateful for this, and when something else comes along that I enjoy even more, I'll be grateful for that.
Hmm. Yeah. It's been a really interesting opportunity to see how much of my sense of identity is also caught up in where I live and my home and having a beautiful home. And I have always been able to manifest places to live that I've really loved. Well, for quite some, mm-hmm. you know, for many years I have. And this time round, that's not really happening easily. And so just interesting to see how it goes straight to there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there isn't.
Yeah.
And in fact, maybe, you know, it's my view of life, that's the point of this.
That's
yeah. just a chance to check in with that. You know, it's always gone really well for me. And so how can I be when something isn't exactly the way I would wish it would be? Can I still be grateful? Can I still appreciate and enjoy? Can I still put what I have into making this beautiful for myself and loving it as it is?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not hard to, you know, just open out and think about the millions of people in the world that live in tents and refugee camps and, you know, puts everything into a lot of perspective.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, the number of people who would be grateful to have a tent. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is so easy for us to lose sight of that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and of course, well, thank you. And this attitude, of course, is the best thing you can do for your immune system. So then, you know, that all starts working too. We live in that gratitude and beauty and appreciation and enjoyment, and we just feel better and better and better. I see you there.
Thank you. Great to
thank
get
you.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, all right.
Bye-bye.
Take
thanks,
care.
Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Barbara. And, another great conversation, Sherry, and great to check in with Sangha all over the world. It feels incredibly supportive to me to hear from people mm-hmm. and to know how they're doing and what's important to them. And
mm-hmm.
it's great.
It is, isn't it? You know, at this point, I know there are people who, like, listen to the radio show for years and know everybody in Sangha, you know, by name and where everybody lives and what their deal is. And people, I think it's difficult for somebody, I predict, it's difficult for somebody to know how many of us want to know how they are, how you are.
Yes.
You know? And if we don't hear from somebody, I mean, maybe we don't notice, but then we hear from them and go, oh, there's so and so. Oh, he's doing fine. He got that job he wanted in, you know, whatever it is, and extended family. And
yes, sure. Your voice is breaking up a little bit there, coming in and out.
We are having weather, Michael. We're having weather.
Ooh.
And
okay.
So I noticed that a little bit ago that we had a big thunder and lightning storm just a few minutes ago and things were kind of shaken in and out. So, if I can always try to call back in if I get too wonky.
No, you sound good now. And to reflect what you said, contrary to what self-hate would have us believe, that actually people in Sangha all over want to hear from each of us and want to know how we're doing and what we're up to and all that.
Yeah.
Great.
So it's good. It's good to participate. That's for the morning show. I ask, you know, I'll ask Ashwini how many people are on the show. And she'll give me one number, and well, how many are in the queue? It's like, you know, it's like a sixth of that number or a tenth of that number. And it's like, okay, it's great everybody's tuned in, but let us hear from you because that's how we all feel supported. That's how we know.
Yeah.
There's lots of us, and we're all doing this. It's what Chris was talking about. You know, there are so many of us, and we're all doing this together.
Well, it's perfect, too, because the motivation is for me to get in the queue. It's not for me. It's for everybody.
Yeah,
and so,
absolutely.
You know, I don't have to listen to the self-hate about that whole story about, oh, I should be in the queue, or I don't want to be in the queue, or I'm afraid to be in the queue. Or it's not about me. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. It's for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yep. We just got to show up.
Just got to show up. Great. And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor now, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself? There we go. Now you're live. Please introduce yourself.
Oh, great. It's Jill in Brooklyn.
Oh, my
Hi,
goodness
Jill.
Gracious. We are so blessed. What are you up to now?
Well, can I tell you, I'm just in my, I so related to some of what's been talked about tonight, and I'm just in my room in Brooklyn, and which, you know, has some things about it that I hope my next room wouldn't have, but my roommate gave me these two daffodils, and they're just in water sitting next to me, and so while I was listening to the show, and all of a sudden I just was overcome with the smell of them, and they're so incredible, just to be in such an urban room up against a very busy street and having a lot of traffic noise and just have this powerful, I mean, it really is. it just changed my life, that little thing. So.
Nature embracing you right there in the midst of all that urban noise and carrying on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I just had this thing drop in while I was listening to the show that, you know, one thing that's changed for me over the past 6 months is I'm just interacting with more people and I'm talking to them more, and there's less room for conditioning, basically. And so I think, you know, the stories that conditioning is now throwing at me are a little different. They're more about them, where before conditioning used to just get me alone and just we'd fantasize together about, you know, it was a lot softer, and now, you know, a lot of the conditioning is about, you know, they're not supporting me, who's on my side, you know, and this is all a product.
What
of,
did that mean? And
what did that
why
mean?
Was, why'd they say that? And
I mean, it's just so interesting. And so it's, you know, it took me a little while to catch on to that. And so, you know, And so I just thought that was interesting. Go ahead.
Well, that kind of change, it is hard to catch on to, right? Because it's so true. It's so real. It's so compelling.
Right.
And it's new.
The evidence is all
right?
there.
The evidence is all there. And it takes us a while to go, wait a minute. wait a minute. That's a conversation in my head. So to make that connection that it used to be, we would just be in there fantasizing, which is it feels cozy, right?
Exactly.
Just
friendly.
Yeah, just us. Yeah, family, just us. And then now there are all these other people who are, of course, just as much inside your head,
mm-hmm.
right, as before. But it's really hard to catch on to that because you're interacting with them. They're walking around in real bodies, and there are conversations that can be referred back to. So we have proof.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Yeah. 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 It's really, it feels like another level. I mean, I find that interacting with, I mean, in New York City, you just bump into, you know, at least 50 people a day that you interact with. And it's just, for me, it, as a country girl, it just fills me with a lot of energy. Like, I get very energetic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more alone I am, I feel like the less energetic I am. And so some days there's just so much energy that it feels a little too much energy. Yeah. Just sort of like, where am I going to put this? Smelling daffodils over and over again.
Well, because that's right here. Right. I mean, that brings you into the moment where you're actually living. And it's not that when we're in a conversation inside our head, we're not actually living in the moment we're living.
Yes.
Because obviously we are. It's just that we don't know it.
Yes. Yeah.
We're not aware of it.
Yes. Yes. And so it just feels like a next level to interact with people and still have this conversation in my head trying to just get my attention and get me away from what is actually here. So the people are the daffodils,
mm-hmm.
and to learn to sort of be with them and whatever smell they have.
Right. And no, however odoriferous they are.
However odoriferous, they are part of nature too.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah. Just a
and
great
so Jill,
day, yeah.
About that, are there so many more people, and are you just different, or is there a reason that you're interacting with so many more people? Is there something going on, or is this just something that's kind of come over you?
I think it's something I think that's come over me as a, and I guess it's a little of both. Like, you know, my team at work shifted a little bit, so I have to be more engaged with some people who are outside of my organization, at least for now. And then internally, there just seems, there's some opportunities for me to get involved in some things that I think previously I would have, just not felt like, I don't know if that's really worth it, but I don't know, it just felt like, let's see what this is like. Like, I've had the part of work where, you know, I'm sort of below the radar, basically. So that's sort of one of the strategies that is presented to me as far as a work thing is, okay, just kind of fly below the radar, do good work, but don't, you know, stick your head up too high so that
mm-hmm.
you get too much going on, and then I can manage.
Whack-a-mole.
Yeah, exactly. But now I'm like, let's poke up there, you know, just see what's, because, you know, there's a couple, there's just people in my sphere who are doing that too, and so there's a lot of conversations that are happening up there, so I'm like, I want to be a part of that. Like, what's going on up there?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the air's thinner.
And practice not losing you, not losing presence, right? That sounds like that's the opportunity. Can you, first of all, get out of just being in a conversation in your head all the time? And then what you've realized is there are more people involved
but that can still turn into a conversation in my head all the time.
Yes.
And now
yes.
realizing, actually, I want to be more engaged and not have all of my attention on a conversation in my head. Actually
yeah.
be focused on and attending to the people that I'm engaging with.
Yeah, yeah. And also, too, what I'm finding is the more things you engage with, the more things sometimes don't work out, you know? If I,
yes.
you know, before it would be like, okay, I'm kind of, you know, I'm only going to get involved in like the sure things because then I know it's worth my time. But now I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. let's just try these things. And I'm just going to let other people who are pulling me in or it looks like I could have a role, like just see where I can be helpful. And sometimes it goes into the ditch and it's sort of like all this work for nothing.
Right.
And, you know, all this.
Well,
all this,
and so. Of course, that's why we call it awareness practice.
Exactly.
Right. and that's that many more opportunities for recording and listening. Right.
Yeah.
Because now I'm getting, again, instead of just going up into conditioned mind for a conversation with ego and ego about that, I'm getting to watch the process. I'm getting to see the karma of this human being. What are the thoughts? What are the conclusions? What does that mean? Why do I believe that? What are the
uh-huh.
assumptions? What am I tripping over? So
yes.
now I'm starting to, this is all rich fodder, if you put those together, for process mapping.
Yeah.
Right? To see, just as we're doing in the morning show, to see, and what's behind that, and what's under that, and what's going on with that, and yeah, well, it's very exciting.
It is. And
thank
I,
you.
You know, that list you made, you just listed like the last 8 folders I've made on my list. I think those were the names of all of my recording.
Uh-huh. And yeah. And suddenly, first of all, the human being is so much more interesting, isn't she? Are you there? Am I there?
Oh, hi, I'm here.
Okay. So the human being is much more interesting, right?
Yes.
Life is much more interesting. Seeing all of this, we can see the transformation that's happening, and that's what makes it exciting.
Yeah.
To me. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Good. Yeah.
I'm so
good.
Glad we get to talk about this tonight. So
I know. I
so
know.
Lucky.
Yeah. And you're still there with the daffodils.
I know. They really are special.
They are, aren't they?
Gosh, I tell you. I mean, they're going to change soon, but I'm loving them how they are.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you, Sherry. Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. I could almost smell those daffodils from here, Sherry.
Me too, Michael. And, you know, it's kind of the theme tonight because that's the sort of thing, the attention to caring. It's kind of what we were talking about with Barbara, too. You know, those daffodils or whatever their equivalent is, wherever we are, focusing on that can transform anything, any circumstances that we're in. You know, having a pet spider. I remember my grandson talking about that. You know, this spider who lived in the corner, and they became friends. You know, he'd come in and check on the spider and how you doing, little buddy. And it's an orientation to life and where we want to place our attention that just changes everything for us.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Find something beautiful and love it. There.
Find something beautiful
to a
and
happy
love
life.
It. That's a great. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. We could start with ourselves, couldn't we?
Yes, absolutely. Huh? Yeah, and then find everything that mirrors that for us. Right. Everything that causes us to feel our love. Causes us to sense our beauty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh,
next
hi.
Caller, are you there? Oh, there he is.
Todd, calling from Canada.
Hey, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
Hi, this is Todd.
Hi.
Yeah.
Now we got it.
My alarm clock just went off. That's funny. Oh, can I try something? Is that better?
Yeah. Yeah, you sound good.
Okay. Great, I just moved him. I'm on Wi-Fi. Oh, I just been really enjoying the show tonight. I'm just looking out at daffodils and crocus that are all through the garden and enjoying the flowers and the pine trees. Yeah, that's a great recipe for a great life, is find something to love and love it. That's great. And, yeah, I never get tired of hearing about practice successes and hearing from Sangha all over the world, and I just love that. Just that acknowledgement that we hear from somebody we haven't heard from for quite a while, and we hear from them, it's like, oh, you know, so neat to get a little update.
Yeah. Oh, good. Because I don't know if, you know, anyway, I was talking about this. I know it was on this. Coming back from the New Year's retreat, and somebody came on on open air who had been at the New Year's retreat. And on his way back home, there was a very scary airline incident that, as he described it, you know, the people on the plane thought, well, this is it. And if that had happened, we would have never known that. And periodically we would have wondered what happened to him. And you know, probably just assumed, well, he, you know, got interested in something else, or he's gone off to whatever. And so that feeling of loss that we have when somebody does disappear, and people can disappear into just not getting in the queue, just not talking. And so for me, at least, you know, what a happy relief it is every time I hear somebody's name, and I hear their voice and hear their name, and there's that, oh, okay, good, they're there.
Yeah, exactly. I'd like to just, if I can, we've got time, just share a seamless to be a very miraculous practice success for me the other day with the Huber Cure, which I'd never put into practice, been talked out of many times, but I woke up the other morning, it felt deathly ill. I had extreme nausea and vomiting, and I didn't know what was going on. And it was really early, and light just dropped in. Grab your recorder, put on your recordings, and go back to bed, and just wait in bed and see what happens. And that has never happened before. And I did it, and for most of the day, I couldn't eat, I couldn't really move around, but I could sip water and listen to my recordings. I had about a couple hundred on shuffle. And by dinner time, miraculously, I don't know what I had, a bug or food poisoning, but I pretty well overcome it in about 10 hours.
Wow.
And felt just like anew. And just that care for the body and allowing it to do what it needed to do. And I had a high fever and I was shivering and sweating and doing all the maturations that the body does to recover, but it was really beautiful that life gave me that guidance, and I was able to be there for it and follow it.
Well, that's the whole deal, isn't it, Todd? That's it right there. You got that guidance, and you listened to it. And you were there for it, first of all. You heard it, and you took it. You took the guidance. You did what you were encouraged to do. And I would bet you were, you know, at least halfway to healing then, simply for that commitment to being with yourself and taking care of yourself, no matter what, staying with it, choosing care for yourself, care for the body.
Yeah.
It's big. I wish I could get everybody to do it, but you're right. It is a hard sell. Of course, it sounds like you were so sick, you might not have had too much choice about being up doing very much. But you could have been listening to voices that were fighting it, which is what happens to a lot of people.
Yes. Well, I think every other time, Sherry, I've believed the voice that said, you're okay, you've got things to do. You know, you can't spend the day in bed, it's impossible. So, yeah, maybe I was so ill that I had to take guidance, but all the other times I listened to those voices that had, you know, urgency or, you know, things to do or the to-do list, whatever, and then I didn't listen to life's guidance and drawn out stuff, you know, 1, 2, 3 weeks of illness and wondering why I'm not getting well. It's because I couldn't give the body its due to heal.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny. It's sort of to me a parallel of what we were talking about with Barbara. So that attitude, I don't know if there's any truth to this at all, but this is how it seems. So you get the guidance, you're sick. You need to take care of yourself. And so I'll say I get it. And I say, no, I'm too busy. I don't have time to take. Okay, well then, go ahead and be sick. It's your choice. And that's what happens, you know. And people just get terribly sick and then feel resentful and angry and bitter and victimized by. But, you know, it's like, well, I had that information. I was told what to do, and I didn't do it.
There
doesn't have to be self-hate in it, but without the self-hate, we can learn.
Yes. Yeah, that was a huge learning experience for me to go, oh, if this happens again, I know what to do. I know the tools.
I know what to do. That's right. And
sniffle,
if you're not listening to voices,
on, I'm dying on
that's right, I'm going to bed. Yeah. And why not? Right?
Yeah.
And the thing about it is, without those negative voices, it's a good time. You're lying there, you're listening to your recordings, you're looking around. You know, it's spring. It's pretty. And it's not a hardship.
No.
When we're not listening to those voices.
No, it was actually, aside from all the nausea and all the vomiting, it was quite restful. Actually,
right.
It was very restful between the bouts to the bathroom, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right. A little exercise and then rest.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh,
I had to crawl. I think I crawled a couple times because when I stood up, I got really, really dizzy. So I crawled. So that was okay. Made my way.
Yeah.
So thank you.
And again, this is back to what Chris was talking about. You know, this stuff can sound crazy to people. I'm kind of grateful that people don't listen to this who would just say, you people are nuts. When you're really there and with yourself, it's all very, very interesting.
It is. It's huge. Mm-hmm. It's huge. And I just want to make a commitment that I'll be up 4:30 a.m. Pacific time, which is a reminder to everybody who's listening, that's 5:30 Mountain and 6:30 Central to join you at the retreat sittings at 7:30 Eastern.
Well, thank you.
I'll be there at 4:30 a.m. I'm going to join you.
God.
I just made it like dropping in, and I'm going to accept that challenge because you know what it does? It goes against I don't feel like it karma that I hit every day.
Uh-huh.
And it's already campaigning.
Yeah,
you can't get up at 4:30. Why not? I can.
Why not? Yeah,
okay,
and you know, of course, Todd, there's so much information from folks who've been doing this for ever that is actually about the very best time a person can meditate. That period of time as night is ending and day is beginning just before the dawn, that's the peak spiritual time. So you'll get to practice with that, which can also be interesting. Especially if the voices hate it.
Oh, they do. The minute life dropped in with guidance, and I made the commitment to myself, they started the campaign. They're screaming, and that's the best.
Yeah.
As you said, when resistance comes up, we go the other way.
Yeah, and it's going to be so quiet.
Oh,
it's so beautiful. It is my favorite time of day. I love to just sit in the dark and just watch the world begin to be lighter and lighter. And the birds start singing.
And I do a lot of the virtual meditation, but to know that I'm sitting with folks at a retreat is going to be really supportive, too. That's really exciting.
Oh, good. And I hope that we can remember to acknowledge that when we're there, because you'll be there with us in spirit, and
yeah,
and to let you know we know that.
Okay. Well, thank
you
so much.
Well, thank you, sir.
Deep Gassho and gratitude to everyone that shows up.
Gassho to you.
And calls in. Thank you, Gassho.
Uh huh. All right. So happy.
You go happy. Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us, Todd. And Sherry, you two managed to end it right on the button of 6 o'clock, so that's impressive.
We are good, huh?
Yes, wow. And that commitment for the early morning shift. Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
That's something.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Go happy,
talk
and
to you
don't
soon.
Forget to treasure yourself.
Happy. All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.